been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to March. March is blowing in like a big, that big wind. Look at the action in the market again today. We're kind of all over the place. I think the big story is oil and Bitcoin, which we'll get to in a bit. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I've got Barry Kite here today, chartered financial analyst. Good morning. We've got a lot to talk about today. We'll begin with the Dow down 228 right now to 33,664. I'm seeing weakness in the banks today.
Yeah, the big banks, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of reasons. You know, interest rates are plummeting today. That would be my third story. 1.77 today on that continued flight to safety. And on the upside, it's the oil stocks. Oil hitting a new 7-year high today, $102 per barrel. It's up $6.26. S&P down 16 to 43.57. The NASDAQ's up 39. NASDAQ being helped by dropping interest rates, I would say. And also a lot of interest in the cyber security stocks. NASDAQ's at 13,707, down 44 points, however. Gold is approaching 2,000. Maybe it will get there. It's at 1928. We haven't seen that level in a while. Silver's at $25 per ounce today. I haven't seen that level in a while. And then there's your 10-year at 1.76. And another big story today, Bitcoin up 4,000 to 43,696. And there's some pretty good theories on what is going on there with Bitcoin today. So welcome to another very eventful day in the world, in the markets. We've got gyrations all over the place, and we've got some pretty big moves in various areas of the market, both up and down. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and along with Barry Kite, who is our chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. Let's go to Bitcoin first here today. Bitcoin, you know, the Swiss have been neutral. I don't know for how long. They're neutral, okay? In any argument, they just sit there, I'm neutral. And, of course, that's allowed all kinds of people, you know, it's infamous for dictators stashing money in Swiss bank accounts, okay, like Kim Jong-un and those people, and, of course, the Russian oligarchs. Well, for the first time that I can ever remember, Switzerland's not neutral anymore, and they're going to freeze the accounts of the Russian oligarchs and whatnot. And that has sent Bitcoin soaring. I think there's a direct link there, and I read a couple articles about it. And Bitcoin, obviously, would be a way for them to get around these sanctions. We'll see if that draws more scrutiny to Bitcoin, however, from governments. We'll just have to watch. It's a kind of an interesting story that's developing.
That would be my worry. Yeah, that's what I was looking. It's probably like it's the kind of publicity they probably do not want. Would be my
no,
idea.
And if yeah, and if they wanted to shut down Bitcoin somehow, you know, maybe they give everybody so many days. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen here. But the Russians using Bitcoin to get around the sanctions is a problem. And we'll see what happens, but I could see them stepping up. Oh, and let's not forget, they asked Coinbase and the others to not accept Russian applications and Russian transactions. But, you know, that's the very nature of Bitcoin, is to not be traceable by governments and not to shut people out. So they've refused, and this could come to a head, but they said that the majority of the action in Bitcoin the last couple of days has been from Russian-based people. All right, so this is an interesting story that's developing. The other big story, oh my gosh, oil, $102 per barrel. So we're having another very good day. We're positive again. The Dow's down 1%, 339 points. The banks are not doing well today, but we have a heavy exposure to the oil and the commodity stocks, which are doing very well today. Oil, $101.98. I'm glad I filled up my boat with gas. I plan on going fishing Saturday, maybe. I'm glad I filled it up about 2 weeks ago, Barry. I don't even want to know what the price is.
Your gas tank is going up in value.
Oh, maybe I should just siphon off the gas, set up a little lemonade stand, and sell some gasoline on the side there. I've made some money on that full tank of gas there. Hopefully we'll go out fishing. But, you know, it's getting those red snapper are getting more and more expensive now when you add in the price of gas. It's cheaper to just get them from the fish market, but not as fun, you know. Okay, so crude oil, big jump there. And see, there's an issue there. They have not cut off the sanctions, or they have not put sanctions on Putin's oil. So he's still able to finance his war with high oil prices and supposedly now Bitcoin. So we'll see. I mean, if they shut down, they're having a major debate right now in the EU what to do next about this, was it a 40-mile convoy headed into Kyiv?
Yeah, down all 40 miles down the going straight in, and you know, of course the thought is that they will lay siege in some form or fashion.
That's what I predicted yesterday. They're going to lay siege to them, which is basically cutting off all supplies coming in and out of Kyiv and literally starving them to death. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They'll cut off the water, the electricity, all communications, food. So whatever they have in their houses, you know, that's what they're going to be reliant on until they give. And there's been some very infamous sieges over the years. The most notorious one was when Rome, encircled Jerusalem back in AD 70, something like that, and millions of people starved to death. It's a barbaric form of warfare, and I got to believe that they're going to step up whatever they got to do against Putin. We'll have to see what happens there. Well, the NASDAQ is kind of holding up okay. It's down 0.5%. The NASDAQ has a couple of areas that are drawing a lot of attention. Number one, cybersecurity. I looked at Cloudflare today, a stock we used to own. The symbol is NET, N-E-T. It looks very good right now. I looked at Rapid7, RPD. I looked at Sentinel-1, which is S. Palo Alto Networks, P-A-N-W, has been soaring recently. Yesterday I mentioned CrowdStrike, CRWD, and of course there are those ETFs. There's one called Bug. I thought that one was about like termites and stuff, but no, it's about other kind of bugs, cyber bugs. Yeah. And you know, maybe that's why the banks are down today too. Just the fear. Now, so far I know of no cyber attacks. Maybe we're overestimating Russia's capabilities, or maybe they just haven't unleashed on us yet. But they're scrambling, and they are going to lash out at these sanctions. It's not a pretty picture, but there are a couple. And then the other cybersecurity ETF is HACK, H-A-C-K. And, you know, the other thing that's going on in tech, Barry, and it's impacting the banks, 1.77 on the 10-year, which here we are, you know, we've been saying that we're in a rising interest rate environment, and interest rates are going just the opposite of this rising interest rate environment. Why? because the bond market is a on the receiving end of scared money, safety, flight to safety. And that's giving a boost to bond funds right now. It's giving a boost to our bond fund. And I think it's, do you think it's helping the tech stocks here also, which, you know, that that discount rate now is not as gruesome against these tech stocks, right?
Yeah, and you're seeing some rally there. My only question is how long does that prevail, right? Because of the fact that, you know, two things is, of course, we know at least the Fed has signaled that they're raising rates. And so, and we can talk about it coming back from the break, but I think it's an important fact of how long it will actually last.
Yeah, I think it's a temporary thing, but I do like the cybersecurity. Okay, when we come back, Bitcoin, gold, oil, Russia, Ukraine, and the stock market. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 265, gold up $21, the S&P down 15, and the NASDAQ right now is flat. How about that? Could Russia use cryptocurrencies to circumvent sanctions? This is a good story. When I saw this morning that Bitcoin was up $5,000. That was the first thought that came into my head. Russia's circumventing the sanctions. Now, Bitcoin's not really liquid enough, and it's not a big enough asset class to finance Putin's war. But at the same time, I mean, they can get around, especially the people of Russia, with their ruble plummeting and whatnot. This is going to really put Bitcoin to the test. Here's some quotes from different Bitcoin experts. Unless the Russian companies are on the sanctions list, we can't see anything that would keep a U.S.-based company from paying a Russian company through crypto to transact. The Biden administration also has reportedly asked the exchanges to ensure that Russian individuals and businesses aren't using crypto to avoid U.S. sanctions. Well, Ukraine asked the same thing. They asked Coinbase and the other couple other of the exchanges to prevent Russians, and they refused. I mean, this is the whole nature of crypto, right? It's untraceable, and it's open to everybody. It's inclusive, I guess.
That's part of their selling point, right?
That's the selling point. Now, the EU is trying to move quickly to approve cryptocurrency regulations that would give a framework for the industry at the governmental level. I've always said that the biggest risk to the cryptocurrencies is regulation, government regulations, and government wanting their own cryptocurrency at some point in time. So anyways, I'm sure that's a big piece of what's driving the Bitcoin up higher today, and we'll just have to watch how this plays out. But the one thing I would watch is what they do on the regulatory front, both the EU and the US. Okay, all right, let's see what else. The Russian stock market is reeling. Their currency is reeling. And it looks like they may default on their debt, sovereign debt that they've issued. But it's pretty minuscule. I think I read that it was $51 billion total sovereign debt spread around the world. So it's pretty minuscule. I mean, we buy more debt in 3 months than they have total, right, on their books. So I don't think there's a big threat to the banks. But there is. I mean, some of these banks, I looked up who has the biggest exposure I would think that the Goldman Sachs of the world and the Citigroups have a pretty decent amount of exposure to a Russian default, which the last time that happened was 1998. Russia said it would never happen again, but it looks like it may have to happen again. Well, tonight is the State of the Union address. That should be interesting. You got to believe that inflation will be a big focus tonight, because what is happening in Russia and Ukraine is very inflationary in nature. I mean, it's like throwing gasoline at a much higher price, Barry, than it was a month ago.
It costs
more to throw gasoline on the fire than it did a few weeks ago. But I watched again. I looked at 1,000 charts or so yesterday. I watched wheat soaring. I watched grain. I watched copper. You know what's really starting to take off is steel and iron ore and all those names.
Aluminum.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I just don't see this. And transportation cost. The shipping companies, everything is going up. And so inflation is a massive problem, and it's only going to get worse.
And that's where I see kind of how we ended the last segment in terms of, you know, how Treasury rates have been, of course, penned down because of the fact that you've got this flight to safety. And you know, but long term, right, you know, going forward, and maybe it slows right the pace of the Fed, you know, moving to a certain extent, right, taking off, where a lot of folks a couple of weeks ago were talking about, you know, potentially a 50 basis point move initially. That's likely probably a 25 basis point move at this point just because of the uncertainty. But, you know, a lot of stuff, as we've been talking about, you know, to me is certainly a protracted event there in Ukraine. You're going to have, I mean, it's going to feed new levels of inflation into the whole economy. I mean,
yep.
So long term, it seems like it could be, you know, cause for more rate hikes potentially.
Yep. Absolutely. And Joe Manchin, on the eve of Biden's State of the Union address, Manchin urged the administration, of course, he's a Democrat from West Virginia, senator, to boost domestic energy production, saying, he was planning weeks of hearings on energy independence for both the U.S. and to support the NATO allies. And he makes a very good point. He says we're not hitting Russia where it hurts the most. And Lindsey Graham is also saying this. One of our senators from South Carolina. We're not using the energy sector as a weapon. We're not hitting Putin where it hurts most. And most people don't realize we buy 650,000 barrels a day from Russia. And that's absolutely ridiculous. Why would we be buying oil from Russia? Do the math. 650,000 barrels a day at $102 per barrel that we're buying from this country that's invading Ukraine. That's just absolute insanity. So anyways, we'll see what happens there. So far, nothing has happened as far as, well, let's increase our production here in the U.S. That's what Manchin's calling for. Or let's, you know, buy from Saudi Arabia or whatever and cut Russia out. But that has not happened yet. Coal prices posting records. You know, you think our oil and gas prices are going up. You ought to see what's going on in Europe with their natural gas to heat their homes. Germany is really seeing. I mean, it was already bad before this. It was already horrible before this. And now you've got just another big spike. I'm looking at a chart of thermal coal prices. It's gone from 50 to 275, from 50 to 275. That's the Newcastle Coal Futures Overview. Last but not least, Devon Energy, which we own, which has just been soaring recently, he's mystified why Biden has not asked for more oil output here in the U.S. I don't know. Must be it's what, environmentalist? I don't know. Probably it. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 389 right now. NASDAQ flat. S&P down 26. Weakness in the banks. A lot of strength in the oil and gas stocks today, with oil hitting $102 per barrel as the Russian convoy, for all 40 miles of it, continues to inch closer to Kyiv. And the thought is that they're going to surround the city, lay siege to the capital. All right, let's see what else we have. Well, let's go back to Devon Energy for a minute. Let's check in on Devon today. They had a
CEO was making some news with his comments, for sure.
Yeah, look at that. A new 52-week high today, $59.89. We have a pretty good profit there in Devon. We picked up Devon a while back. I liked it because they focus a little more on natural gas. We picked up Devon at $45 a share. It's $60 now, so that's a 33% gain since our buy back on December 30th of last year. We own that in both our premier growth and in our dividend and growth, as it pays a dividend, a pretty healthy dividend. It was 6% last time I looked. I don't know where it is now. But, yeah, he has made some headlines here today. He says it's all they got to ask, you know, do is ask, and the U.S. companies will increase their output. There's some ways, you know, they have to get drilling rigs, they got to start pumping new oil. There's a lot of things that have to happen. And some of the land that's been closed, the federal lands especially, would have to be opened up again. Okay, and we got, you know what else is popping here recently are the alternatives to oil, which that's only natural at $102 per barrel. All of a sudden you're seeing the solar stocks. They've had a really good run over the last few days. Yesterday it was the hydrogen stocks, Plug Power and Ballard and Fuel Cell Energy. They've been popping recently, and of course, like Bloom Energy, which is solar, and Solar Edge, and all the usual players in the alternative green energy area. Here's a stock that got slammed yesterday: EPAM. EPAM. This has been one of the best performing stocks in the entire market. I never did buy it, and I just kept watching it go up and up to $720 a share. The last couple months is what it hit. Now it's $200, Barry. It's down $500 in the last 2-3 months. Here's the rub. They have most of their operation in Ukraine, Russia, and Belarus.
Touch them all right there.
They've pulled their financial forecast, and for all of 2022, due to what it called uncertainties and regional impacts resulting from military actions. The company has 14,000 employees in Ukraine, probably one of their biggest employers over there. They have no way to predict what's going to happen to the 14,000 employees. Maybe, you know, a third of them are in Poland by now. Who knows? But this stock is down. It's a disaster. Just an absolute disaster. Yesterday it got cut in half. Ouch. EPAM, E-P-A-M. Zoom Video. Well, you know, Zoom reported earnings after the close yesterday. Zoom was in the right place at the right time. You know that Zoom got up to $588 per share the year of COVID? It came public late in 2019. It couldn't have come public at a better time.
Okay? Right.
Right before COVID hits. It goes from $60 a share to $588. It went up tenfold in about, you know, 6 or 9 months. And now it's all the way from 588, which was its all-time high, clear down to 129 per share. You know, that's what happens. That's kind of a phenomenon in tech. Somebody's in the right place at the right time, gets a big jump on everybody else, and everybody else sees how much money this company is making and the space they're in. And I wouldn't say that that's got a lot of barriers to entry, because it was around, right?
Right. FaceTime was already invented, right? I mean, and pretty much you had, Citrix. Remember they had the GoTo meeting, right? GoTo meeting. There was another one. Anyways, there was plenty of video conferencing. Google Hangout was a popular one for a couple of years. Our whole thing with that stock was they needed to parlay the video into something else and quick, right?
Yeah.
They haven't found that other revenue vertical or other business to add to it. And that's pretty much explains why the stock is probably down close to 70%.
Well, the earnings growth rate over the last 5 years has been probably the fastest growing stock other than Moderna. In history. I mean, their growth rate over the last 5 years of earnings is 446%. Their earnings were quintupling every year for the last 5 years. And now this quarter that they just reported, their earnings were up 6%. So they've gone from a 450% grower to a 6% grower. And the PE has come clear down to 26. Well, maybe the value investors will come swooping in here at some point. Zoom drops as price target cut at Citi on very weak guidance. Well, and now you've got people also returning to the workplace. So there's another big strike against it. Okay, we've got a few earnings out here today. Let's see. Kohl's, nothing. I would be interested. You know what Kohl's main business is? My wife goes to Kohl's all the time. She's taking back the Amazon stuff that she's returned.
Whole Foods is another place recently where, of course, they're owned by Amazon, but Whole Foods is another place where I know a lot of people are going to take back Amazon Prime items.
How is that a profitable business for Kohl's?
I guess it gets them in the store. I mean, if they're going to do it, they better make, kind of like a pharmacy, right? You put the drugs in the back, right, and sell the washing powder at 200% markup, right? So what they need to do is put that return center in the back of the store. So then you got to walk through the store and at least probably pick up something on the way out, I guess. I don't know.
I have not seen a Kohl's bag at our house, but there's plenty of Amazon packages, and she makes a trip probably two or three times a week to Kohl's to return the Amazon packages. AutoZone, one of the great stocks of all time, believe it or not. And most people don't realize that was, who's the guy that bought Sears and ran it into the ground, and Lampert, Eddie Lampert.
Yep.
He's also his other company is AutoZone, and that's been one of the biggest winners of all time. I wrote about it in my book several years ago. Now it's $1,800 per share. And maybe about 6 months ago, I was just taking a little cruise in my little center console around the harbor, just checking, having a nice day, getting a little sunshine and whatnot. I saw a mega yacht. Like, you can't believe. It's the biggest mega yacht I ever saw in the Charleston Harbor. And I read the next day that it was Eddie Lampert's mega yacht. So while all the shareholders got clobbered in Sears, he did just fine. I mean, this thing must have had... It was like a miniature, I think it was as big as the Carnival cruise ship that comes in and out of our harbor. Probably 500 rooms or something like that, So anyways, wow. Okay, so AutoZone is down a little bit here today. Target soars after comparable sales dazzle during the holiday quarter. Yeah, okay, well, Sears is up 11.7% today. So I suppose the S&P would be down a lot more were it not for Target, TGT. up 11.8% today. Not one on my list, however.
And they've really reinvented themselves. They got their, you know, even pre-COVID, they got the, they got their online business right. And then parlayed that into, you know, the pull into the parking lot, right? And drop, you know, order your groceries or order whatever you're buying, right? And then we're going to drop it off to you in the parking lot. So
they've
really done good.
And they were one that got to stay open during COVID along with, Walmart, Home Depot. So they've done a good job, the Minneapolis company, the pride of Minneapolis. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The Dow down 422, I think the reality of maybe what's about to occur over there in Ukraine is setting into the market here. The S&P's down 34. We continue to have inverse hedges in place against the S&P 500, against the NASDAQ, against the Russell 2000 and a few other select vulnerable areas. And of course, we're on the long side of, gold stocks, the heavy exposure to oil and gas, which is obviously working out quite well for us, and a few other select areas of the market. Okay, I'm going to feature four, if I can get them in here in this final segment. You know, Barry, I'm going to ask for a lump of coal this year in my stocking. Coal prices, $255, $275. Or a few shares of HCC, which is Warrior Met Coal, hitting a new high today. That comes from my A-plus momentum list today in the app. And it's got that relative strength of 98. And it's got a P.E. ratio of 7. It's out of Brookwood, Alabama.
That's what you call outsmarting Santa Claus right there, Bill.
Yeah. Thank you for the lump of coal. You know, thank you very much. Exports. I'm going to export it to Germany and make some money on it. It exports metallurgical coal in Alabama with a production capacity of 7.7 million metric tons of coal. And, you know, I remember back in December, China must have known something. I don't know. They were buying up commodities like it was nobody's business across the spectrum of commodities. And look what's happening to aluminum today. Oh, look at Alcoa, AA. Wow, that thing is busting loose like Zoom video was breaking loose during the COVID years. It has a relative strength of 99, and it has a P.E. ratio of 11. And I read some comments by Vail, the CEO of Vail, yesterday. We should have hung on to our Vail because it continues to go higher. I got a little nervous about political risk in Brazil. But look at Vail today, Barry. Look at Vail, V-A-L-E, over the last several days. You know, they have a very diversified portfolio. Another one that's really booming is nickel, because nickel is used in these batteries. And if you look up the top 10 nickel stocks, Vail, I believe, is number one, and along with a lot of other commodities. But he was talking about how iron ore pellets are just going to go through the roof because a lot of that comes from the Ural Mountains. A lot of it comes from Russia. A lot of it comes from Ukraine, Belarus, etc. So steel, iron ore pellets are used in the making of steel. We've been watching these steel stocks, Reliance Steel, but the iron pellets are really the one to invest in.
Yeah, now you hit it on the head there. The unique thing about them is that, you know, they are well diversified. Like you said, they've got nickel, they've, you know, they do copper, gold, silver, a little bit of, I mean, really a very integrated miner.
And there's one, there's only one negative there, is political risk.
Correct.
Down in South America. But you know, that SQM has come storming back, the Chilean stock that got clobbered when the communist guy was elected down in Chile. But the pure play on iron pellets here in America is Cleveland Cliffs, CLF. And that stock is exploding to the upside with the relative strength of 91 and a PE of 4. You know, what are all these millennials going to do? That's all they know is Roblox and Zoom Video and Peloton and Cleveland Cliffs iron ore pellets.
PE of 4. Just
coal in Alabama? They're going to buy that? No way. But this is the, these are the stocks of 2022. It's a completely different ball game. The whole world has changed. Something called inflation has come along. Something called the supply chain issues. Scarcity has come along. And that dwarfs. I mean, these are things that you need to live. Food, grain, basic materials, the building blocks of economy and life. Are all just soaring here. And last but not least, well, I'm going to do two if I can get them in here. If I were to say we need to ramp up oil production in the U.S., I would turn to Harold Hamm of Continental Resources. I had him on my show many, many years ago. He was the energy secretary for a while, or advisor under President Trump. He's one of the on the early forefronts of the fracking and the horizontal fracking. And Harold would know how to ramp up production. But his company, Continental Resources, CLR, is soaring. It's close to breaking out to a 52-week high. And I'll get in one more here, a tech stock, Cloudflare, N-E-T. That's a beautiful chart. On a hack, anti-hack company, which is also in the headlines. We haven't been hacked yet, but many people think it's just a matter of time. Well, welcome to March, okay? Did we have enough to talk about today, Barry? You know, on the first day of March, the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March.
In like a lion, what, out like a lamb, right? We'll see how it comes out.
But if you're in the right places, I mean, we're up big time today. We were up again yesterday because we got out of that high-flying stuff and into other areas. I know it's not as sexy. I know it's not as exciting owning lumps of coal and iron ore pellets. But that's what it is in 2022. And yesterday, Bear, I told, I gave out to Edie, I said, name, I said, call Edie. She's the keeper of the schedule, which is pretty full these days. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, I got a hunch there's a lot of portfolios just sitting dormant right now, not being managed very actively. You could call us at 855-611-BEST. Edie will put you in the schedule, 855-611-BEST. Or you could start off with the newsletter. You can see what we own right now, and, we'll, you know, that might help. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.